But as promised, we're going to talk AI now. And what will AI bring for the coming year? Fevzi Turkalp joins us, editor of GadgetDetective.com and the podcast of the same name. So, Fevzi, what is going to happen? How is AI going to develop over the coming year?
Well, it's going to be quite interesting. So there'll be a lot of what we already have, but better, but there'll be a shift in emphasis. So we'll move from chatbots like ChatGPT and Perplexity and Claude and Gemini 3 and so forth. We'll still have chatbots and they'll get smarter, but they will be increasingly agentic. And what that means is...
Agentic?
Yeah, as in having agency, the ability to act in the world, right?
Doing jobs for us.
Yes, exactly. So instead of just giving you advice and you go away and follow it like a good human, you will give it a task, and it will be something like a... you could say a colleague or an employee even. So it will do different tasks. So I'll give you an example of the sort of tasks that we might expect them to do. I think in this year, before the end of the year, we will see this being done. So you could ask it to book you a dental appointment sometime next week, afternoons preferable, something near you, and then add it to your calendar, maybe check your bank account and make sure that you have enough money in the bank to have the dental treatment this week, that you're going to be able to pay for it. You're not over on your credit card. Or if perhaps, you're buying an item of clothing, it will know your taste in clothing. It will know your size. It will know that you're going on holiday in 2 weeks.
How will it know all this?
Well, because...
Because you've got it embedded in your computer or your phone and spying on you?
Because you've had conversations with it over a period of time.
I mean,
and because it's been working. If you had like a butler or a personal assistant, they would get to know you very well, and they would eventually, a good one, would be able to meet your needs without you actually having to articulate them in any detail. And so when I say they're going to take all these things into account, you're not going to say to them, check my bank balance, check the fact that I'm going on holiday, don't forget this. It will know.
Yeah. Like a good butler would know.
Precisely.
Precisely. Okay.
Or let's say you want to travel by train. So, and we know how complicated, train fares are. So it will find the cheapest one. And maybe it will buy it in such a way that if a better price comes along, it can grab the better price. Mm. So it will be intelligent about it.
How confident are you that this will actually happen? I'm sure they're trying to make it happen, but I mean, it feels to me like we are a little bit away from that still. I go on websites and I expect it to remember where I last went for a train ticket or what journey I wanted or what time. It should be able to guess all of it, and doesn't do any of that at the moment.
Yeah.
It doesn't even get the right station.
Yeah. So it will do it. I think the key to this is permission. I mean, I think in the this year, certainly, it will ask you before it goes ahead, and you'll have to decide what permissions you give it.
Right.
A bit like how you give apps permissions to do certain things and not give them access to others,
So it'll say, would you like me to order your
train tickets? It should. I think in this year, we won't have the... their abilities often are ahead of our trust in their abilities as well. I mean, we see that a lot with autopilot on commercial aircraft. You don't really need, in most cases, to have a co-pilot, but we have it, and we have the person at the controls all the time, for understandable reasons. But also with self-driving cars, again, there is understandably some nervousness about, these technologies. So often the barrier that needs to be overcome is the trust barrier, and they have to earn our trust. But this is the direction of travel, and I think in the early stages, if you limit them, for example, £50 limit, or after that, you have to get it authorised by me, and something like that, I think would work. And also things like comparing products, so not just doing a review of three products and saying this one is the best, but this one is the best for you.
Right.
Given your preferences.
If you're willing to play ball and let it have your information, and you feed it more stuff, and it gets to know you, and you think that will rapidly happen over the next 12 months?
I think it's going to be increasingly impossible to avoid it having our information.
Right.
I I was a person who took very, very great care, and I still do take care over my private information, but I also have realized that whilst I wasn't going to give up my privacy for what they were offering before, I'm prepared to do so now because what they're offering now is life-changing.
And you're the gadget detective. Are there going to be gadgets where all of this kind of really clever AI stuff beyond the normal software is built in?
So that's, I think that's the other thing that's started already but will continue, is AI embedded in every type of gadget that we already have, as well as new types of gadgets, you know, like wearable tech and so forth, which will improve. But they will get the AI embedded, and yes, that will mean some new whiz-bang features, that's fine. But what it will mean is all the stuff that we already do will just work better. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Google Pixel Pro 10 and 10 XL, and I said to you that it had AI embedded in its DNA. So unfortunately, with Apple devices at the moment, its embedded AI isn't very good, and you end up running apps like ChatGPT on it. But with that Google phone, because they make the Android operating system, and they make Gemini 3, which is arguably the most powerful consumer AI at the moment, they have the ability to integrate it. So it sees the screen and it sees the camera. And seeing the screen is so important on a device, because when you don't understand what you're looking at, what is that setting, or where is the setting, or what does this mean, or what's that error message? At the moment, I'm having to do a screenshot and send it to ChatGPT because I use an iPhone. But, you know, with the Google phone and with modern future phones, let me put it that way, it's integrated. So it will surface the information you need as you need it. So it's not just, oh, your camera takes better pictures because every pixel is modified according to the needs of that photograph. It's when I'm on the phone to a particular person, I pull up the right contract. On my device, it surfaces information as you need it. And I just think that's really powerful. And the ability to point the camera at something and saying, what the hell is this? And what do I do with it?
Which is gradually getting better. One of the ones that I've come across is something where you point it at plants and it will recognize the plant.
Yes.
And that's been around for years, but they have got better to the point where they're normally correct now.
Yes, exactly. And we often ideas are ahead of our ability to deliver upon them. And I think this year we're increasingly delivering on ideas that were floated before but didn't work very well, which kind of alludes to what you were saying before, you know, it should work and it's not. As the AI improves, it will increasingly work. Moving on, we've got an indoor camera, you know, like a home security camera.
Oh, yeah.
It's from Eufy. It's called EUFY. It's called the Indoor Cam S350. It's what's called a PTZ camera, which is a pan, tilt, and zoom camera. So this is a camera that attaches to your home Wi-Fi. And you can use it as a security camera, but it's particularly, because of the built-in AI, it's particularly suitable as a baby cam, because the AI is designed to understand when it's hearing a baby crying and know what that sound is. And also pet sounds and so forth. But it's a good camera anyway. It's got two cameras on it, a 4K camera and a 2K telephoto camera. So in combination, you can have up to 8x zoom from that. But it can pan 360 degrees. So pan is like the side-to-side movement.
So it can go round in a complete circle?
Yes, and in fact, when you put it in privacy mode, it turns its face, and it looks like a little cute robot because it's got the two cameras, look like its eyes. When you put it in privacy mode, it literally turns its head and faces the wall.
Quite right, too.
Like a naughty robot.
Yeah. But would you use that to, say, keep an eye on your property? If you were away, could you get it up on your phone and have a look at...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can do that. And you can have zero running costs from this because it's got a micro SD card slot on it. So if all you want to do is have it locally recorded, you can. If you're concerned that someone will break in and steal the unit and the recording with it, then you can also get a cloud subscription if you want to. But it's £3 a month, which is much cheaper than... Ring and, you know, some of the other brands. So that all works very well. But in terms of the AI, it's got human detection, pet detection, and crying detection. The reason why that's important is these cameras record when an event happens. An event is typically movement or sound. But what ends up happening is they get all these false triggers. You know, there's a change in the lighting, a car with its lights on drives past your window and it triggers it as movement. You know, there's a shadow that, you know, is any number of things can trigger it. And you end up getting the storage used up for that, but also you get a notification when you don't need to. So by using the AI, it's doing what it did before, recording on a trigger, but it's being much more selective in what it's counting as a trigger, and therefore how often it's recording and how often it's disturbing you and how much of that storage it's taking up.
Will we have AI in other gadgets around the house, do you think, that even like microwaves and
funnily enough, I was just talking about it. I bought myself a really nice microwave, a Panasonic. My last one lasted about 25 years. But this one has all the bells and whistles. It can microwave, it can grill, it can roast like an oven. I've had it over a year and I've only ever used a microwave because I couldn't be bothered to read the manual and it wasn't very intuitive. But in the future, and not the distant future, you will talk to it and say, look, I want to roast this. Have a look at this. What do you think? Can you set yourself to do this?
I've noticed in the supermarket, you now don't, well, in one supermarket anyway, you when you're weighing your fruit or veg, you don't have to tell it what the fruit or veg is. It will identify. Is that AI?
Yeah. So that's machine learning, artificial intelligence. I mean, that's what AI does. It does pattern recognition, image recognition. That's what it really does. So it is a difference in this context between seeing and perceiving and understanding. Yeah. Cameras like CCTV cameras in the street have been able to see for a long time, but they've needed a human to watch them, to understand what you know, to make sense of what it was seeing. Otherwise, it was just a video feed. Could be anything. Now, they're attaching AIs to those public cameras, which I'm not too keen on, I must admit. But what it means is that they can watch all of them all of the time, understand what's happening. And there's this sort of pre-crime thing going on as well, where they can spot what they see as suspicious behavior, and before a violent act kicks off, they try and get the police down there. You know, so if there's a group of youths or even elderly people that look like they're going to cause problems, it can be predicted. Now, this is a bit scary. I'm not so keen on that sort of thing because it's, again, because the technology lags behind the concept. And in the meantime, you can get lots of injustices, which is why people with dark complexions, for example, can often be falsely identified more frequently, and it leads to injustice based on race, right? Because black people basically don't get misidentified more often by systems and end up being at least temporarily incarcerated apprehended when they're not the right person. So there are concerns about this, but some of those concerns are partly about how good the technology is. Have we got time for two more or one more?
One more.
Okay, so we'll do this microphone. I'm not the one I'm using now.
Okay.
But it uses AI software. Right. Yeah, it's an AI microphone. So it's from a company called Elgato, and they do a range of Wave microphones. They're called Wave, and the cheapest of them is called the Wave Neo. And I'll tell you why I've chosen the cheapest one. It's under £90, which, you know, for the type of mic it is affordable. But it comes with software that was developed with a company called AI Acoustics, as in acoustics.
AI Acoustics.
Yeah. And they developed some software which contains something called AI Voice Focus. And what it is, because this is a consumer microphone, it's not going to be typically used by people in a room which has been sound treated with, you know, bass traps and other sound panels on the walls to absorb the sound and stop it reflecting. And in a room without that, typically you get a certain degree of reverberation, you get a sort of slightly long tail to it, and there's not really much you can do about it. And also, if you're using a microphone in your home, You could have the sound of your keyboard and mouse, which we've discussed before, but also the air conditioning unit, your neighbours. And some of those sounds are not simple sounds where you can just filter it because it's a constant frequency. Some of them, you know, fan you could probably do, but not some other sounds. What this does, this AI voice focus, it does a number of things. It cuts out any sound that is not you, and it also deadens the sound. And I've actually got an example of it. If you give me a moment,
okay,
I'll just pull it up if I can find it. Yeah, so this is a chap speaking, and he's turning it on and off, and you can't see the switch because it's, yeah, but I'll say on and off when it's on, but you should be able to tell anyway.
All right.
Let's see, hold on.
Suppressor, part isolator,
on.
And heaps of AI sorcery. So,
off.
From echoey rooms to busy offices, you'll sound like you're broadcasting from a recording
on.
Studio.
Okay.
Clear.
Got the idea.
Yeah, you see the difference. I mean, they've gone
yeah,
for a particularly
so it's
bad
treating
environment.
The sound.
Sounds like he's in a bathroom, but...
So it makes it sound like a good microphone.
a good microphone in a
good studio.
Room. Yeah. So,
very
so
good.
That's from Elgato, and it's the Wave stuff. And even if you don't use Elgato microphones, they have... what's called a VST version, which is a plug-in, software plug-in, that works with, say you're doing, you've got what's called a digital audio workstation for making music. You can plug it into there and attach it to your own mic. So this is useful for all sorts of things, not just podcasters and would-be broadcasters, but also useful for people who are doing just, Zoom calls and FaceTime calls and so forth. It cleans up your mic and it just makes you sound... like you're in a professional space. Could you hear the difference? Like he was all over the place. He sounded like he was in a bathroom, and suddenly he sounded like he was in a voice booth. You've got more basic, more affordable hardware being enhanced with AI in the same way that Google do with their smartphones, by the way. Some of the hardware that they've got is good, but it's not class-leading. But in combination with their software, it becomes some of the best cameras on any smartphone.
Fevzi, thank you. Fevzi Turkalp joining us there, editor of Gadget Detective. More coming up in a moment on LBC.